That's my new thing I'm going to do every episode. what's up, you beautiful rat bastards? It's Monday, March 27th, and this is episode 6 of The Rat King, the number one gaming podcast shooting out to the stratosphere to some random-ass satellite from Winmebibba.
What? From Winmebibba?
Don't worry about it, man.
Okay, I won't.
This is good.
I never do when you talk.
Here's the thing. One, I didn't even introduce you yet.
No.
This whole podcast is a sham.
I'm just the mystery man right now.
Who you're hearing right now is the anime hunk, Jose Merguia.
Hey, guys.
And who you're not hearing is the Iron Claw, Justin Stokes. He's in the process of moving in with his beautiful wife. They've been together 16 years. It's a big move for him. Please send your hopes and your prayers toward them. Good vibes to all involved. What's up, Jose?
Oh, man. I didn't do jack shit this week.
No?
Nah.
Like, at all?
Well,
You sat on that cherry made out of ice and watched it melt underneath you.
Yeah. I was like, it's getting cold,
but
at the same time, but
you didn't
it's
move,
hotter.
And you kept peeing. It was weird.
It's steamy.
I didn't enjoy this. And you sold this video online. The dark web.
Oh, man. So, I recently heard stuff about the dark web, and I'm like, I should check that out. And then I'm like,
not that anyone should, but yeah, I listened to like Radiolab, maybe, or something. And they talked
about it might have been Sword and Scale, maybe
something.
I don't know.
But they talked about the Tor browser, which is easy enough to get online, and then you can just like, I'd like some cocaine, some AK-47s sent directly to my home. I was thinking, like, do they use, like, independent couriers, or do they just trick UPS into
delivering
it?
I think there's just some dude who drops it off, and he's like, cool.
You would think it should be a lot easier now with, like, the advent of drones and stuff. They can just, like, send you a brick to your house. That's what I'm looking forward to.
It's a solid investment, yes.
Yeah, I wonder unless they start making you register drones, could you start dealing drugs via drone, like...
I'm sure you can.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
you can
a good
deal
idea.
Drugs via dog, probably too.
I'm gonna print this podcast and mail it to me because that's how you copyright stuff. that's what I always heard. Like old Hollywood, it was like, okay, you come up with your idea and then you mail it to yourself and then you don't open it. So if it ever comes up in court, you say, look at this this stamp from USPS that says it was from March 22nd and they did it on March 25th.
Huh?
Yeah. I don't know if it's actually true. Also, I think like Ray Romano wrote himself $1 million check or something.
It sounds fake.
No, it was Jim Carrey. It was Jim Carrey. He wrote himself $1 million check, like post-dated, like 10 years.
Did he do it?
Yeah, he did it, but I didn't understand the logic. I was like, what was he gonna do if he didn't make $1 million? Just go and try to get it cashed anyway. And then they're like, there's not enough money. He's like, yeah, I know, that's me. And they're like, what the fuck are you doing here? You should just leave.
That's something I'd expect from Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Instead I'm not gonna get into it.
Wait, what did he do?
No, he's one of those like anti-vaxxer dudes. Who are like, there are neurotoxins that poison your children.
Again, something I'd expect from Jim Carrey.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Have you seen, Ace Ventura? You see how he acts?
Yeah.
He looks like he wasn't vaccinated.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. But,
I think he would consider that a compliment, though. Yeah. Because he doesn't want people to get vaccinated. So he's, you just complimented Jim Carrey.
I haven't seen a Jim Carrey movie in a really long time.
You know who else hasn't? America. So you didn't do anything but sit on your ice block.
Pretty much. Yeah. Well, I mean, I played one game. Well, I played a few games, but like not enough for them to be important, I guess.
You played Krusty's Funhouse.
Yeah.
You played
Krusty's Back in Time or Bart's Back in Time or something like that.
I don't know. Bart's Nightmare or whatever.
Fucking no.
And you played that wrestling game from The Simpsons as well. It was a Simpsons palooza at the Merguia household.
I played Witcher. For a little bit,
mm-hmm.
I went to do some of the treasure hunts, and oh man,
yeah.
So if you don't actually go looking for the treasures actively, you won't find them. I don't think, at least the Witcher gear, that you're supposed to be looking for. And just letting you know, if you ever want to get the Witcher gear in the Witcher, you're gonna, because there's like 5 different Witcher gears.
Yeah. You're gonna want to bring your face a little closer to the mic.
I was trying to.
But... I know, I could tell. You're also making a lot of mouth noises over there.
Oh man,
do people like mouth noises?
Well, I had a peanut butter sandwich before I got here.
I had a peanut butter sandwich, washed it down with some milk. Great idea.
I didn't do milk. I did water. Is that weird?
Why are you still? Do you hear yourself making that noise?
No, I don't.
It is at the end of every sentence. You go. No.
Really? That's probably the peanut butter in the back of my throat.
Yeah, I forgot. You, I rub it on the roof of your mouth to make it look like you're talking during the podcast. It doesn't make any sense.
No, no.
But it's a fun thing for me to do.
But, you know, if you're interested in getting the Witcher gear, I wouldn't say look them up, but hey, look them up. They're fucking hard to find.
Like, Jose, I'm going to stop you right now.
Okay, what am I doing?
I'm going to need you to drink some water.
Am I really that bad?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
It is the end of every sentence. This is a crazy thing. And you're going to want to bring your face closer to that mic. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. He's choking. All he's right. Dead. Yeah.
Better?
Yeah, that's okay. Way better.
Even though I just kind of smacked right now.
Yeah. Oh,
I think my mouth is just super wet. That's why.
Stop yelling at me now.
Am I yelling now?
So, The Witcher...
Just look up all the gear, I guess.
Okay.
Like, there's the cat armor, from the cat school or whatever. The griffin armor, the bear armor. What's the other one?
Dog.
Oh, wolf.
Oh, it was close.
Yeah, I think that's it. But because I ended up getting the Ursine gear. It just depends on like what you want in the game.
Yeah.
Like Ursine is more a heavy armor set,
mm-hmm.
whereas the other ones, like the cat, is more speed based, and the wolf is what he's wearing originally. And I don't know what the fuck the griffin does, but I think it might be magic or something. But
that makes sense.
They're super hard to find, and like crafting them took me for fucking ever to do all of them.
Because
there's like you get the armor, and then you can still upgrade it more.
Okay.
So I think it's like. Regular Ursine armor, then superior to Ursine armor, then mastercrafted, I think.
Yeah, and then you get Mecha Garurumon.
Mecha Garurumon.
And then Greymon, Mecha Greymon, whatever.
Oh man, there's a lot of fluids in my mouth right now.
Yeah, there's a lot going
on.
It's
saliva. I don't know what's going on.
I feel like you need to spend a minute drying out your mouth. yeah, directly into the mic. Yeah.
Well, how else are they going to know?
Yeah, that's true.
I played more Dark Souls co-op, and that's still Dark Souls co-op.
You meet any lifelong friends on there?
No.
No?
No.
You don't even talk?
I'll never see them again, probably.
Just like in real life.
And then, oh man. And then the game that I actually really wanted to talk about, because it's a new game that I haven't played yet, Punch Club. You heard about that?
Yes, I have. I don't know much about it. Tell me
about
it.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like The Sims... but with a boxer. Like, you play as a fighter.
Okay.
And then you control his life throughout it. So it's like, you have your health, you have your happiness meter, your tired meter, and then your hunger meter.
Okay.
And you have to manage all that. It's like a time management game, but with boxing.
And what are you playing this on?
Steam.
Okay.
PC, yeah.
Okay.
And it's interesting. It's something that I've never played, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never played The Sims or anything. But it's just one of those weird games that, like, just because of, the subject matter is kind of interesting to me. Like, it's kind of like a fighting game. And then, I don't know. I don't know what kind of lured me to it. I saw someone play it online that looks kind of cool. And it's essentially, like, just... you have to manage everything. Like, every day, you have to pick a build, first of all. Like, pick the stat that you want to level up the most. So, you got your strength, agility, and your stamina.
Mm-hmm.
And then each one of those pertain to a skill tree.
Yeah.
So, like, your strength's going to go for the way of the bear. Speed's going to go way of the tiger. And then stamina's way of the turtle.
So, you only played games that talk about what animals affect what you do in the game.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
And... It I don't know, like, I don't know how to feel about it yet. Like, what? I'm having fun with it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm playing it, but, like, after a while, it just gets super repetitive.
Yeah.
Because you're just doing the same thing.
Seems sort of fruitless.
But then there's, like, at some points, you do hit certain, like, flags, I guess,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, oh, this was interesting. And then it keeps you going. So, okay. Like, because every day, it's just been work up my strength, go to work. In the game.
Yeah, I was going to say in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have to make sure you eat, because if you're hungry, you can't sleep. So it's weird. Like, you have to manage all that. You have to manage your happiness. You can date this girl. Her name's Adrian.
Okay.
Like in Rocky.
Yeah.
And it's this weird thing. Like, you can also participate in illegal fights.
Illegal fights?
Illegal fights, yeah.
Okay. Fights?
Yeah, street fights. Well, there's also, you can also participate in street fights. There's street fights, and then there's like the underground, like the fight club,
mm-hmm.
and then also like the world circuit or whatever you're doing. And it's, you have to manage all those three. The world circuit gets you higher in the rankings, mm-hmm. so it gets you higher in the story. Then there's the illegal fights that you make more money out of them, but you can get hurt during them.
Okay.
So you can get a concussion, and that'll prevent you from fighting.
Fighting in the real fight. Yeah,
and then the street fights, that's where you can learn... I don't know. I honestly don't know about that one, because it just says you want to go test yourself in air quotes. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. And I've tried it, and I also got injured, I think, during that, and I got a broken arm. And surprisingly, you can still fight.
With a broken arm?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it just, like, slows you down or something. But, yeah. like, is the way the stats work, it's your strength is literally just you punch harder. And it's all your moves are based on punching.
Yeah.
Whereas the way of the tiger would be your speed, you're faster, and you can dodge, and you kick. And then way of the turtle is you have more stamina, so you can take more hits, but you do less damage.
Okay.
So since I'm doing strength, I get knocked out super easily.
Yeah.
Well, knocked down at least.
So you got to pull like some Mike Tyson
punch out
stuff.
Yeah. And it gets to the, when you're doing your fights, like you don't press anything. You just watch the characters fight each other. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like at the edge of my seat, just going, come on, come on, come on, fuck it. Come on, yeah. come on, fuck it. And when I lose, I'm like, well, fuck, I got to start all over essentially. Cause like every day your stats, they get lowered.
Yeah.
So you can be level 2 in your strength. And then if you pass a day, you'll go down back to level 1.
Oh, wow.
So it's just like this weird time management thing where you have to make sure you do everything.
And stay involved in everything.
And stay involved in it. And it gets repetitive.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like kind of in the little, like, I don't know, like a gray area where I'm just like, I don't know if I like this. Or yeah. I'm just like doing this because it's repetitive.
Yeah, like a clicker or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but, I get that.
Yeah. But I mean, that's really the only thing I played. And I watched anime. Really? I binged watched like 15 episodes of one anime. That's probably why I didn't do anything this week.
Which one?
Konosuba.
Never heard of it.
It's kind of like a parody anime where it's like, have you ever seen those animes where people, or at least like heard of them, where the kids get stuck in an MMORPG?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's essentially like a play on that where the dude's like, hey, it's about a shut-in guy. Like he doesn't leave his house, but he leaves his house to go buy this game. And he's walking home and he sees a girl that he's that goes to a school, and then she's just texting on her phone. She's about to get hit by a tractor. And I guess he's like, oh shit. So he pushes her out of the way and then he dies.
Where are they that there's a tractor?
I guess like farmland. I don't know.
Okay. Walking past a farm on your phone.
And then he's dead, and then he gets transported into like this dark room, and then there's this goddess. She's like, dude, you just died. And he's like, oh, well, what about the girl? Like, did I save her? And he goes, well, not exactly. She wasn't going to get hit by that tractor. The tractor was going to stop before, you know, you pushed her. And he goes, oh, so did I die from the tractor? And he's like, no, that tractor didn't even hit you. You just went into shock and then peed yourself. Oh. And then you got taken to the hospital. But since you peed yourself, the doctors were laughing so hard that they couldn't get to you. So you just died.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. We've all been there before. As the doctor.
Yeah, and then he just gets transported into like this MMORPG world and then just do dumb stuff. It's a comedy.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
It'd be weird if that was a drama.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, really. I mean, I didn't do much.
Awesome.
Just wait for Persona 5.
You don't have much longer, do you?
Mm-mm.
How long?
10 days?
10 days?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That's going to be... I'm really anxious about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why? Because you want to play it, or
that? And I think I'm gonna be. I think that might be the only game I'm playing for a while.
Probably. I was looking at like upcoming releases recently over the next few months, mm-hmm. and I was like, I think I'm good for a little while, which is good for me.
Yeah,
I'm happy about that.
Like, dude, this year, well, I wouldn't say it started strong, but like right now where we're at,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fucking games to play.
And it's still going to continue strong. It's just not necessarily games that we are drawn to completely. Right. But yeah, it's staying strong.
Because I want to play Yakuza 0, Nier Automata, especially like after I looked into it a little more, and mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, shit, I really want to play
People love it.
Yeah.
It kind of was surprising what kind of like overall praise it got, and it wasn't as specific as I thought it was going to be as it was with the first Nier, since they kind of switched things up. So,
but like, there's just so much to play, and then I don't know, like, I really want to play Nier. I'm probably going to end up playing Nier after Persona.
Yeah.
Or probably go into Witcher again. But I don't know if I'm going to play Yakuza 0 or get to Yakuza 0.
Okay.
And not this year, at least.
Well, eventually. You have time. Yeah. You have time. You're good.
Just die next year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Just die on New Year's Eve. Wow. Yeah, that's hopefully. It.
How about you?
Thanks for asking, yeah, man. I appreciate it. I was waiting for that. Without Justin here, I was like, no way it's going to get passed to me. So I actually jumped back into Fallout 4, as I kind of brought up last week that I thought I might do. And I've been having a lot of fun.
So why?
Why am I jumping back into it?
Why? Because I remember you told me, like, sorry for interrupting, but, like, I remember you told me that I was, like, super dull and it got boring and you thought you did everything that you could do in that game now.
So what happened was what really got me, there were a couple things that got me in my first playthrough. One was that they have these repeating missions that never stop where Preston Garvey of the Minutemen sends you to keep doing, like, oh, protect this from super mutants, protect that from raiders or whatever. And so I eventually stopped doing those. But also, it was just sort of beat after beat when I was playing it. And I think that was partially my fault. I did jump on a lot of side quests and everything, uh-huh. but now I'm playing it very differently than I did the first time around.
And
so.
I'm going to keep saying that. When I see Fallout, it just looks dull to me. Mm-hmm. Is there like any merit, I guess,
there
in
is.
Exploration?
I think so. I think people feel like it's less so in Fallout 4, although I kind of disagree, especially after the way I'm playing now. But it is very interesting when you find a specific building and you go in, or like you go to a farm, let's say, and there are feral ghouls there, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to kill all of them. And then all of them, instead of saying feral ghoul over them, it'll say Mrs. Johnson or whatever. And then all of a sudden, either in that same sort of farm area or that farmhouse or a barn or something, or perhaps you're somewhere completely different, you'll find a note that is related to that farm and what happened to them. Or, you know, just finding secret entrances to places through like sewers and stuff, secret bunkers that pretty much exist for you to obviously loot, but also just kind of add to the story of it. And it is interesting to see, like, how did people really react through the Fallout, you know? And it does build that story for me. I like finding, like, a comic book shop. And then you go in there, and, of course, you find a comic that helps your stats.
Oh.
But you also, yeah, like...
Shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, throughout it, you find, like, there are, like, army manuals, like, military manuals, mm-hmm. and that'll help you in whatever respect. You'll find lockpicking manuals that'll help your lockpicking, of course. And you find Gragnok, the barbarian, which helps your strength.
Oh, I thought you meant like a person or an NPC.
No, and then since they're rare and you don't find them often, you can sell them for a lot of caps as well. So once you have them, it helps your stats, and then you can sell them for whatever.
Hmm.
And so what I'm doing this time around instead of what I did last time, which was kind of following the story and, you know, much like any RPG, you'll go somewhere for the main story, and then in that general area or that town, you'll find a couple of side quests. And then you go do the side quest and then say, okay, now I'm going to jump back on the main quest.
Hmm.
This time, I'm maybe about 5 hours in so far. I'm about level 20 or 22.
Okay, so you started over?
Yes, okay. So I did a couple things. One, I'm playing as the wife this time around. I'm playing as the woman because you can choose whether you want to be the husband or the wife. Last time I played the husband and kind of try to make it look like me a little bit because I usually do that.
Is the story any different playing as the wife?
Or? Just gender swapped. They say her instead of him and stuff like that.
And like I assume the baby stuff is...
Baby stuff's all the same. Okay.
The dad's carrying the baby or something? Or?
Yeah, exactly. So the biggest difference, and this isn't really a spoiler because it happens in the first 5 minutes of the game, is they come and steal your baby, Sean. And last time they shot my wife in the head and took my baby. And I remember, like, I played the game and you take her wedding ring.
Right.
And the whole time I was like, I'm never getting rid of these wedding rings. And I was like, I'm going to avenge my wife and all this stuff. But now I'm playing as the wife and my husband got shot. And I was like, fuck these wedding rings. Yeah, I sold them. I was I don't give a shit. I'm totally not attached to him. I also know how the game ends, so I kind of hate the baby, too.
Oh, right. You told me about that.
Yeah, so I'm not really worried about that. But what I've done this time is, after I've gotten out of the vault, I've only done two quests, which is I got to check out my old neighborhood that I stayed in, where you meet your robot butler. And then I went to the Rocket gas station to get dog meat. Just so I could have him as a companion.
Oh, right. That's the name of your dog.
And then
I was
past
like, dog
that,
meat? Like, as they eat dogs?
That's where it came from.
Oh.
And then, so I have him as a companion. And then I just haven't done any other story quests. So now I'm just exploring. I'm literally just walking all over the map.
How's that working out? Like,
I'm just now starting to get sort of underpowered compared to everybody. Uh-huh. Everyone has a skull by their name, which means they're a danger to you. So that's starting to happen because obviously you level up quicker and you get more XP when you're doing quests.
Right.
Whereas now I'm just grinding, basically killing everything I can find.
So did you explore a lot in your first playthrough?
I did, but I felt like a lot of it got sort of... I was like, okay, here's my quest marker, so I'm going to explore that general area and not do much past it. Like, I feel like I filled out a large majority of the map, but I didn't take time to enjoy it because I was thinking about the story too much.
So, like, this time around, like, are you finding different stuff?
So far, yeah. I found, like, a couple of... I won't really give it away, but, you know, like, I love coming across new vaults, different vaults. Those are always fun. I think there are like 5 in Fallout 4. So it's always interesting to see how those kind of reacted differently to the nuclear holocaust that happened. just a couple of random buildings that I never checked out because they're in a place that is like slightly off the beaten path of like your marker where you're going for your next story quest. Mm-hmm. So I've just been enjoying going places and checking shit out, and it's been really fun. And I'm thinking I'm gonna try to get to like level 40 before I even start doing the main quest, and pretty much try to fill out the map. Because what's happening now is I'm not getting gear that I really should get, so I am getting underpowered. But right now I'm just running around stabbing people in the face with a poison knife.
Oh shit!
So that's been cool.
And what's your status on trophies?
I'm
are you not worried about it this time?
Not really, no. I'm not. I have like 88% on the main thing. So other than that, it's like get to level 72 or some shit.
Right.
It's not really stuff that I'm too worried about. Like literally this time around, I'm just thinking I want to have fun exploring stuff. And so far it's been pretty huh? sweet. That's pretty much I think all I did in terms of gaming. I also got a little bit of time in with Tearaway Unfolded.
Oh yeah, you told me to buy that.
Yeah, well it was free. Yeah. So it's a fun little game. It's very different than on Vita, as in terms of like the controls and everything. So it is interesting to see how they deal with that.
Do you think it's better to play it on the Vita or
yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. For sure. It's I think to date the only game on the Vita that fully utilized all of the, you know, the rear screen and, you know, everything that the Vita offers in a way that didn't seem forced.
Dude, I forget that the back touchscreen was a thing a lot of the time.
And like in Tearaway, you would use that to pound drums, which would then be like a platform for you to jump on and everything.
That makes sense, but like... Did you ever find yourself like accidentally hitting the back? No, I do.
See,
all the fucking time.
I didn't really run into that, and it was one of those things where if you did, it wouldn't affect the game at all, unless you're near drums and you'd hear them. But
so when I play like classic PS1 classics, those are my R2 buttons.
Yeah.
So I hit them all the time.
I can see that being an issue. Yeah, I don't have really. I have like one PS1 game that I play on there, so not really much of an issue. But moving on. From that, also, I hate Preston Garvey and the fucking Minutemen. I'll just say that from Fallout 4. So moving on to in the news. Beep, 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 beep. Is that a thing?
Yeah,
do people still do that?
No.
Breaking news. Destiny 2 leaked?
I guess.
I guess. It was more so an Italian retailer posted or someone who works at an Italian retailer posted the posters for Destiny 2. One of which said that there was an upcoming beta, but didn't really offer anything past that. And another saying that it had a release date of Friday, September 8th of 2017.
Man, that feels like it's super soon.
It is. And the thing is that also might just be the European date.
Right.
So I think ours would come a few days earlier, a few days later on
like
Tuesday.
July.
No, I think it'll just be like on the like 5th or the 11th shit. But both posters show 3 dudes, no helmets, with
no
some
helmets?
Guns, no helmets.
No, they had helmets. No, that's weird.
3 helmetless dudes.
Wow.
And they're holding guns. I'm assuming they're going to shoot things.
They're the Destinies.
So they are the Destinies. Given what you know about Destiny 1, do you think they're going to shoot stuff? And why?
I think probably, because aliens.
Okay. Yeah. You think there's going to be, as Justin would call it, like space magic?
Yeah.
Is that what everyone calls it, or just Justin?
No, that's space magic. I've heard a lot of people talk about that. Hell, like, they even talk about that in Mass Effect 2, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So
just the second one.
Yeah. And then they completely drop it for the third one. Like, oh, actually, just guns? Just guns.
Just guns.
So there's not much on it besides those dates. Do you think you're going to do anything with Destiny? Are you still staying away from shooters?
I was kind of hoping we'd have Justin here so he can try to convince me.
Yeah, this is Justin news.
Yeah, because I'm like, on paper, Destiny seems fun as fuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, cool, you get to, like, it's essentially like an MMO, maybe, kind of, not really.
I see. It has very many RPG elements, more than most shooters,
Yeah, and then, like, every time I see Justin play it, and then I see him with, like, all of his friends and stuff, and him doing, like, the raids, and I'm like, man, this looks fun. I feel like I can probably get into this.
Well, the other thing is that Justin is good at these games.
Yeah, that's also very different.
It's weird, because... Luckily, for me, I usually think I'm pretty bad, and then I watch you play, I go, well, I'm better than that.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm still way worse than most players. So he can enjoy it because he's good at it.
Right.
And I think you can enjoy it with friends just hanging out or whatever, but we also have different schedules, and we generally don't like each other enough to play anything together. But I think I'd kind of like to jump into it. It's going to be a good game. I don't think there's any doubt.
I don't think Destiny 1 was a bad game.
No, it just promised a lot.
Yeah, it promised a lot, and then it just kind of fell through. Like, it didn't...
Yeah, and they still supported it quite a bit. They still worked on updates all the time to patch stuff that was broken or to add things that people wanted, but they just couldn't completely hold up their side of the offer.
I think, like, by the end of, like, its life, it looked a lot more interesting to me than it was at the beginning.
Yeah, which is kind of a shame because it's the end of its life.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why also people are kind of upset that they promised this 10-year plan with Destiny and said this is going to be a game that's supported for 10 years, and then all of a sudden they say, hey, you can't bring over your weapons or anything like that.
I think you can bring over your character.
You can bring over your character and the general appearance of it, but I don't think really any special items, and so definitely no weapons.
I was kind of hoping they went on with it like a kind of like a WoW thing, where you can just carry over your level, and then you just, you know, do that. But I was like, oh, well. I mean, I think that'd make it a little better for me.
I think if they can offer what they want to offer with this new title, then people will forget about that immediately.
And is it just called Destiny 2?
I'm pretty sure.
That's so weird to me.
Yeah, but I mean, what else would they do? Because it's not incredibly story-based. Like, they obviously had those DLC packs that came out that had names, but it's not going to be like Destiny, the Fallen One.
Right. Because, like, I don't know. Like, if they want to keep going, make at least Destiny 2 like a 10-year thing after that, it's just going to be like, oh, it's Destiny 2. And then 10 years after, there's like, finally, the new Destiny game, Destiny 3. And I'm
exactly.
Maybe because I'm just still stuck on the whole World of Warcraft thing, how that didn't really have like a World of Warcraft 1, 2, or 3 kind of thing.
Well, I almost feel like eventually there will just be sort of how they're trying to do these incremental generations with consoles. Mm-hmm. I think eventually there will be some games that are like that, where as the game goes on, you can pay for these, you know, DLC packs or these complete additions to the game.
Right.
And if you don't, then guess what? You can't play with the people who have that because it's essentially a new title. But let's say every year you pay an extra $20 as opposed to every 3 years you pay $60, you know? And it's almost like a subscription to stay updated year by year. I wouldn't be surprised. And then it's just in 10 years, it's still Destiny. In 20 years, it's still Destiny. And the way that World of Warcraft, though it had those expansions, is still World of Warcraft.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that will come eventually.
Right.
Just so you can keep all of your shit that you have.
So I hope it does something. At least, I don't know, like, I'm bad at shooters, and I think I've already said that so many times, but, like, maybe if they gave, like, different options, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I'm used to, like, melee kind of thing. Like, maybe I can probably do a lot better with something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe just, like, it's too precise for my right finger or my right thumb to actually, you know.
Yeah, which would make sense why something like Dark Souls or Neo or something like that would appeal to you. Because it has the same general idea behind it, which is competitive multiplayer, but all melee. I feel like the thing with that is it's slower paced. So your brain and your hands are both working at the same pace.
Well, it's not even that. It's just, like, in a lot of my games, I don't use the right stick.
Yeah.
Because there's the lock-on system. So all of my attention goes to the buttons. So I never really use the thumb for anything. Yeah.
You've never used... I remember we went hitchhiking and you just held up your index finger. Yeah. And we didn't get a ride. Someone shot you in the arm.
But, like, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to get better at them, maybe play some first-person shooters, but every time I try, I'm bad at it.
Well, the thing is, what we never used to do, at least, and this might change for me, but probably not for you, is we'd be like, well, this looks interesting, something like Overwatch. Maybe we'll jump in a few months. And then in a few months, it's an official esports game.
Yeah, and everybody's people, better. And...
Yeah, people have plans. They know what kind of team. And then you and I are like, I don't know, this dude looks cool. So I'm going to play as him. And everyone's like, be a
healer.
Be Mercy. Fucking... And then I'm like, well, I wanted to be this fat dude, you know? So I think that's our problem. So by the time we actually are like, oh, maybe I could get into this, right. then we're getting beat up by 10-year-olds again. Remember when we got beat up by 10-year-olds?
Yeah, man, that sucked.
That was bad.
They still cry about it.
Yeah, they threw snowballs at us, and it was like June. It made no sense.
They fucking left them in their fridge for the whole summer.
And I mean, I guess with the appeal of space magic, though, that doesn't want to make you play more?
No.
No?
No,
really?
Not really. Well, because I found Mass Effect kind of appealing for that, too. Just because it was like, oh, it's an RPG, blah, blah, blah. But then I played it, I'm like, this is just Gears with, like, certain things. But, like, obviously, like, I didn't really give it the time. So, yeah. Like, if they were to ever come out with, like, a collection of them for PS4, I think I'd probably buy them.
Yeah, so speaking of Mass Effect, we have, it's come out. Officially, yeah. I think last we spoke about it, it was still in the early access, and then now it's officially out. It's been reviewed, people have played it, and it's gotten okay reviews.
So, they're so weird, because like I go down the list and there's like 10 or like 9s and 8s, and then at the bottom, like the other half is 6.5, 3 out of blah, blah, blah.
I've seen, of the ones that still use the, you know, out of 10 system,
right.
I've seen it hovering around 6.5 or 7.
Yeah.
Which means it's a very serviceable game.
Yeah, yeah. And like when I see the higher ones, I'm just like, well, those guys just really like Mass Effect and they're kind of like stuck on it.
I always check out the sources to see how reputable I think they are or that they really are. So people seem to have kind of gotten over the facial animations and the general movement animations to focus a little more on the game. People are still talking about that because it's interesting, but it's not the main focus anymore. So now that they've gotten over that, they've basically said, yeah, it's a serviceable game, and it is not much more than that.
Yeah, well, like, it doesn't look like a bad game to me, but, like, there are things that I see, like, in videos and stuff, and, like, they're traveling through a desolate planet, and there's, like, nothing at all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what is this? Like,
the biggest draw for me, or the biggest positive thing I've seen, is that the combat is definitely a lot quicker and a lot smoother than it has been in past games. Because although I haven't played through them completely, I have played Mass Effect 1 and 3.
Yeah.
And I remember for 1 specifically, it was very sticky, very clunky sort of combat to it. And seeing this now, it's like, okay, they're catching up. But the biggest issue with Mass Effect 4, or Mass Effect Andromeda, I guess, is that it does feel out of place. It does feel out of date already. Right. And it's something that they've obviously been working on for a couple of years. So by this point, they are outdated. And it's showing, whether it's the animations, whether it's the actual gameplay, stuff that has sort of been dropped to the wayside by now, which to me means that the next Mass Effect will be pretty great.
What engine is this running on? Is it
no clue.
Frostbite? No?
Sure.
I don't fucking know.
I have no clue. I haven't even looked into that.
Because the game doesn't look that bad when it's not moving. You know what I mean? But like, it's the facial animations and all that stuff. And like, to me, that's never been something too, like, I'd probably see it and then I'd be like, eh, that's funny or whatever. But like, it's the gameplay usually that'll probably draw someone in, or the story or the character interaction. And I'm more interested in the character interactions.
Yeah, like you specifically, you play a lot of sort of lesser known games in North America, I guess, that do have, if they are smaller games, they don't necessarily have the money to put out these patches because it is expensive. So I feel like you, more than anyone, is able to kind of overlook the negatives to see the overwhelming positives.
There's a lot of like blank faces, like when they're talking, or sometimes they don't even move their mouths. And
exactly.
I'm like, yeah, this is fine.
And you're like, well, I'm willing to put up with this for the remainder of the game.
Right, right.
And I don't think that's a huge North American sentiment because everyone does expect, you know, AAA title like Mass Effect should come out with no bugs, no issues, and that's just not how it works these days.
I get the, like, the no bugs thing. Like, like there's gonna be bugs.
Yeah, any software.
But like, from what they've done before, like I've heard that it's like significantly worse.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, and it's also like what BioWare.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to come out with quality games, from what I've heard.
I think, you know, people loved KOTOR. I was one of them. And it definitely doesn't hold up any longer with the mechanics of that game. I have it on like my iPad. I have it on Steam. I played it on the original Xbox. Like, I loved that game. And it was because at the time it was sort of groundbreaking, but now it's just slow and plodding and sort of, it's difficult to play almost.
Right.
And I think, you know, they carried a lot of that with them. This is, I believe, BioWare's first title on the newest generation of consoles.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Didn't they do Dragon Age? Was that a PS4 game?
That was. Inquisition was. Yeah. But this is, I guess, their first of that sort
brand
of
new
KOTOR Mass Effect feel to it. And like I said, we kind of touched on last week how no one does just a sequel, or no one does just a one-off game anymore. So this is obviously their new trilogy.
Yeah.
So my hope is that instead of waiting until the third one for it to be amazing, that they see where their mistakes lied this time around, and then the next one comes out and they've corrected on those.
Yeah, no.
And with a company like BioWare, I think that's extremely
possible. I think the second one of that game is probably going to be like, it's fixed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's going to be, it's going to be good. It's going to be everything that you wanted from it, I guess.
Everything that you wanted from the original.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's also another issue, is that people always kind of think of, you know, it is a trilogy. It's going to be a trilogy. So the second one is what you wanted from the first, and the third is what you wanted from the second.
Yeah.
So then you're like, oh, I don't feel like it completed its full potential. And then let's say the next one comes out on PS5, it's going to do what the Andromeda did.
Yeah.
So you never feel like you caught up.
I don't know. Like, I'm interested in Mass Effect, but
so
I,
that was one of my questions to you was, is this a series that you feel kind of weird for missing, or kind of strange for missing out on?
Yeah, for sure. Like,
because I feel the same way.
Because not too much in the combat or the story, but every time Justin tells me about character interactions with them, and I'm like, that seems kind of fun. Like, I want to hang around with these people and just fucking chill out and shoot stuff.
Yeah, because it was a really epic game when it came out on the 360, when all of us were about the 360.
Right.
And all of our entire friend group had 360s, and Justin was really the only one who jumped into that series. And it just, it didn't appeal to me at the time. And I remember trying to play it, but I was coming off of way, way quicker games at the time, because it was the 360. It was a lot of shooters.
A lot of
violence and stuff. And then you go to this, and it is more cinematic in its fighting. So less speed and less gore to it. And then, I always kind of felt weird for missing it. But I think what you're saying is kind of what I thought, which is, it's more about the lore and the experience around it, and how these different races and species interact with one another, and sort of that builds the universe around it.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, do you think they're going to come out with, like, an HD or something? Like, a remastered version of it?
So, I was under the impression for a good 6 months that they were. So, I think that may be something in the works.
Then I would probably do that. Like,
absolutely,
I would buy it.
A sixty dollar game that has all three of those plus all the DLC, and they are known for putting out really great DLC for their products.
Like a new ending.
Or multiple new endings.
Really, was it more than one?
I don't remember anymore. I remember it was nuts.
People were mad.
And while we're on the subject, it's nobody listening to this, I'm sure, but shitheads who are like sending death threats about facial animations again.
Oh, come on, man.
give it up. Like, I love games as much as the next guy, but I would never do that. That's so ridiculous. And trying to, like, scare people and literally sending death threats and stuff. Don't be shitheads. Yeah, No Man's Sky wasn't
that great. I
thought
you were talking to me for a second. No. I got like, wait, like, what did I do this time?
It's just people are fucking nuts, and they're insane about these properties that they don't own, and they have no I don't know, nothing to gain from doing this. It's like, guess what, I think this game is by no means like an abomination, but even if it was, guess who it doesn't affect so much? You don't have to buy it.
Just seeing all that stuff, it's like, come on, guys, really?
Yeah, we're like, better than that. Like, this is, it's, well, we're not. We're awful people. But I mean, like, gaming as a whole, I think, really needs to get over this sort of, I can't even think of the
toxic
word I want to say. That
kind of thing.
Absolutely. But just sort of this, fuck, why can't I think of that word? I'm just not gonna say it. Basically, like, they feel like this is, they deserve it. This is
yeah,
a game I deserve. I deserve for it to be perfect. And you know what? Games aren't perfect. You know what I do when I don't like a game? I don't buy it.
Right.
And you know what that does? That makes people go, oh, people didn't buy this because of this aspect.
Yeah.
I should change it. Meanwhile, you send someone a death threat on Twitter, and they go, I'm just going to block you. Yeah. Because you're an insane nut job.
Oh, man. Like, I'd freak out if I were a game developer and I saw that. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Already? Yeah. Like, yeah. That is like, the go-to thing now is to be like, I hope your children die. And then the woman they were attacking on Twitter was like, I didn't even work on this game.
Yeah. The one that everybody thought she was in charge of all that stuff.
Yeah, and she was like, nope, didn't really even work on this. I was for like two minutes and walked away. But even then, even if she was in charge of the whole thing, stop it. Tell if you know people doing it, say, hey, don't be a shithead anymore, shithead. God. And then punch them in the nuts. I don't know why I said that. Moving on from that, speaking of nuts, it's nuts, these new Xbox One features.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting that.
They're interesting, I would say.
I wasn't expecting like the custom.
We'll get into pictures. That. Wait, don't jump ahead of me. Huh? We're gonna go in order.
Okay, I didn't know there was an order to these.
There is in my brain, and that's what's important. I will kill you. I hope your family dies. Look on the internet. Anyway, Xbox One is rolling out new features over the next month or so to people in the Xbox Insiders program. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna run down a few of them. The first one being Arena on Xbox Live, which I think overall seems to be a place where you can set up tournaments for games, although they specifically mentioned World of Tanks.
That's so weird.
And I know it's a big game. That was like the biggest booth at E3 last year, was World of Tanks, because they make so much goddamn money. So it said, World of Tanks fans will be able to participate in new tournaments on their Xbox One, created by ESL, which is English as a Second Language, and powered by Arena on Xbox Live.
I was in that.
Yeah, I know.
In middle school, like, for some fucking reason.
Because you're brown.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was it.
I would see people, and there were people that needed that class, obviously, because it was a second language. But I remember walking past that class, and I'd be like, hey, guys, what's up? And like 80 people would be like, hey, man, how you doing? My name is Juan.
I remember like the TV people came in and like interviewed us, and I was interviewed, and I was on the news, and I can't get that image of what I was wearing. I was wearing like a plaid kind of shirt, but they were like the small squares, and it was unbuttoned, and I had a white shirt underneath, and I had like a Jesus Christ necklace.
Oh, nice.
And oh, man.
Were you, was this still when you were ugly?
It was, I was hideous. I was like, I was slightly overweight, I think.
Okay. As we all were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't stretch out yet.
Boy, you did horizontally.
Yeah.
And then it says players can discover tournaments from their Xbox One or the Xbox app on Windows 10, get notifications when their match is ready, jump directly into their match on Xbox One, enjoy automatic results reporting, and show off the results in their feed. And I think this could be something that people want to utilize, but it seemed pretty vague on even their own website. Like I said, they mentioned World of Tanks specifically and that ESL was setting it up. But can I just go in and make my own thing? Do I have to verify it with Microsoft? Of like, hey, I want to make a, a Gears of War tournament.
Right.
And it's going to be this way. We're going to have it set up like this. This is our tree and all that shit, like our bracket.
They're kind of making it sound like it's developer based.
Or at least esports league based, where they can set it up. And I wouldn't be surprised if developers do say, hey, winner of this gets a the Gears of War 5 suite set up in their bedroom. It's a soundbar and a bass Bluetooth subwoofer, and we're going to put decals all over your fucking wall.
You guys like fatheads?
Do you remember that? When it was like everything was like, get the ultimate Gears of War experience, and they'd come and like put fake blood on your walls and give you like a surround sound system and Gears of War. They take a picture and give you a year's worth of Mountain Dew, and then you die under a pile of shit. I don't know.
Oh my God. I don't know. Like, it's because I've seen like certain games, at least fighting games, that they have like their own internal tournament set up in there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, how is it just for like shooters, or like are developers eventually going to be like, oh, well, they have that system set up, we can just use that? Or
I would like to think that they will have a set of tools, and I could be totally off, but what they should have, I think, is a set of tools to let you easily lay out the rules, be able to sort of specify how you want the results to report, and then have your own bracket where you add everyone to the bracket, and it automatically tracks down to the winner. And all of that would, of course, be timed. Like it says, it notifies you when your match is ready. And that would, I think, be really interesting. But I don't know if it's going to go that far into it. And if it doesn't, then I don't think it's going to be utilized very often.
I don't know. I think it might end up being like a dud kind of thing.
It has, I guess what I'm saying is, it could very easily be a dud, yeah. But it definitely has potential to be very cool. As does a lot of what Microsoft is doing these days. I like to give props to their Xbox division specifically for still putting out newer and newer stuff. Whereas Sony, it seems to be, and as much as I love Sony and my PlayStation and everything, the only things they really put out are cash grabs. It's like PlayStation Now, PS View, and it's like, okay, it's interesting that you're offering me this, but how about, like, you know, they have their Xbox Game Pass. Like, I would love something like that. But
it's like you said last time. It's because they're winning, I guess.
Exactly.
They, like, they don't really have a need to do that.
If I was the best burrito joint in town and I could charge double for my burritos, I'm not going to be like, well, I'm going to charge $3 less because I like people.
Right,
that doesn't make
any
sense. I'm going to sell burritos for $15. And then, like you were saying, up next, they have updates to the profile and activity feed. You want to tell me about that?
It's just like you can, do your like own gamer tags or whatever, or gamer pictures and stuff
like that. Custom gamer pics.
So, do they still show like gamer pics on there?
Yeah, because they've kind of gotten, you still have avatars, but they're not like they were on the 360. So, your gamer pic is kind of your main thing now, which Sony kind of lets you do this. You have you can set up a custom gamer pick, which I've done, but only your friends can see it, and everyone else just sees like this rocket ship or whatever that I have.
Well, mine's like just something that crossed over from the PS3 that I bought for
Judy,
$49.
Right?
Yeah.
Judy. And then the other thing, it was very funny. Microsoft states on their website, expect it to be in preview longer than other features to ensure it's great for everyone when released. Which means they're getting their dick pic team ready to ban everybody. Because they specifically mention on this one thing, just on the pictures, like, expect this to be in like this beta longer. Because they know everyone's going to be like, here's my asshole.
Yep. Didn't that happen with like Uno and stuff like that?
Yep.
Oh, man.
People were showing their dicks on those Microsoft Eye cameras. It was fun.
That and like 1v100. I remember that was fun,
too. Oh, that was weird. Yeah, that lasted not too long. Yeah,
3 months, probably.
Yeah. The other things they're adding are a join broadcast button on your profile when you're broadcasting gameplay. That's cool.
Yeah.
I think that's nice. Arena tournament history and upcoming tournaments. Whatever. Mm-hmm. It feeds into that arena stuff. And the ability to hide individual posts, pin posts to the top of your feed, and filter posts by friends, games, or clubs. And then it goes on to talk about clubs and looking for groups.
Is clubs a new thing, or has that been around since
I don't think it's been around since the beginning, but I do think it's a newer thing. It basically just says, when you create an LFG, which is looking for group post, as the owner, you'll be able to see new vetting cards that include hero stats from gamers interested in joining your party. Hero stats are contextual to the game you're playing, showing you relevant data like kill to death ratio, rank, or score.
Mm-hmm.
So you can build a super group, basically. and also, this is kind of cool. I would maybe use this. It says, Achievement Hunters, this is for you. You will be able to search LFG posts from the Achievements tab related to achievements you're trying to finish. So on
like
stuff
tips
like...
tips and stuff, just...
Well, no, it's like if... Like on Borderlands 2, if there was a specific trophy or achievement I wanted, then I tag that, and then I see other people looking for it, so then we can co-op.
Group up and then do it. That's pretty cool, actually.
And then we'll do like a raid, you know, so it's cool to do.
So I remember, what was it, Fable, where we had to trade around the stupid doll so we can get that achievement?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So it's cool that you can kind of tag those, and then other people can be like, oh, cool, I'm looking for that too. I need to do 7 co-op missions, and then you join up, and then you make friends, you have children, and then you're good.
Yeah.
And then it says club owners can upload custom images for their club logo, dicks.
Yeah, I'd say like dick. PX.
And club background, buttholes. Just like custom gamer picks, we expect this to be in preview longer than other features to ensure it's great for everyone when released. And then last and certainly least, my games and apps and settings. It's a bunch of shit about filtering stuff by platform.
Okay.
Like your library by platform. And connect settings.
Oh, whoa, connect settings.
Yeah, it's just like, do you want it to automatically start filming when you hit broadcast or some shit? I don't remember, but nothing that's super interesting.
The connect just kind of went, at least for the Xbox
One.
Oh,
boy.
Yeah.
I constantly think about whenever I see, you know, an Xbox One, and I'm generally curious about purchasing one, So far, I haven't had a reason to. You haven't either, obviously. No. There hasn't been that exclusive. Mm. Whereas back in the day, it was Gears of War. I remember seeing that at E3, the first Gears of War. I can't even think of the guy's name. Marcus Fenix chopping up a dude with a fucking chainsaw gun.
That was like the... I don't know, that was fucking
and
crazy.
It was still completely gray throughout the entire thing. Yeah. But I remember seeing that and being like, this is fucking nuts.
The fucking Mad World commercials that would pop up.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, I have to get this. I haven't had that with the Xbox One. And every time I think about getting one, I think back to their release strategy and how flawed that was. And how much pushback they had on that. They were like, it's always on. And people were like, and we need to connect to Wi-Fi every 24 hours to verify. And then people in the military were like, hey, what about we just want to play Call of Duty and stuff, and we don't have Wi-Fi. We're fucked. Oh, and they were like, okay, well, I guess we'll get rid of that.
But there's like a mandatory patch that you need to download.
Yeah.
So you need internet.
And then they were like, your Kinect always has to be connected or it does not function. And then eventually they went back on that. And I think at one point, Sony and Microsoft were both on that sort of used games push.
Yeah, the DRM stuff.
Yeah, where they were like, once you have it, you have it. And that's it. We're going to install to your hard drive. You can throw away that fucking disc because it's useless to you. And then they got rid of that as well. It seems like it.
It's upsetting.
But they had so many poorly thought out strategies. Yeah. And I think it would have been, this isn't even an I think, it's just a full on truth. They would have been able to compete so much harder without those strategies.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be not neck and neck, but it would be very close.
See, like, I'm not saying Xbox doesn't really have games.
They absolutely do.
They do.
And they're like, good with indies, too, which no one seems to talk about. But
if the game that I wanted, like, the exclusive game that comes out for it, and...
like your Bayonetta 2,
I guess, yeah. And I buy it. There are other games that I want to play on the Xbox One. Like
exactly. You need that one game to make you purchase it, and then you're like, this is just open my library. Yeah. Yeah.
There's Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah.
I really wanted to play that. Then there's Killer Instinct. I think that's it, actually. I mean, I wouldn't mind playing Gears 4, but, you know.
I'm kind of with you. I need that one game to be like, okay, I have to get it. Mm-hmm. And then from there on... I don't know. Bayonetta, like I said, Bayonetta was yours with the Wii U. Granted, you already had it, I guess. But that would have been...
Did I?
I'm pretty sure. But that would have been your reason for getting...
No, it was my reason for getting it. Like, I didn't have any games before that, I don't think. I had Wind Waker, but I didn't play it.
Yeah. Do you think that Splatoon 2 will be that for people getting the Switch?
I don't know. I think that'll be the people who want to play Splatoon 2 will get the Switch for it.
So they're in... Splatoon 2 is in sort of an open beta?
Yeah.
Apparently? Well, I forgot what they call it.
It's such a weird
thing
because it's not like a full day thing, I don't think.
No?
I think it's only for like an hour.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's already happened.
Yeah.
As of the time recording this, but...
I think it was only for an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
So did you happen to jump in on that?
Mm-mm,
okay,
no,
but I know you looked into a couple of new, like, features and controls and weapons and stuff like that, so what do you have on that?
You can do a pro controller with this, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure if they is still doing, like, the gyro kind of controls for it.
Yeah.
But I know for a fact that it supports the pro controller, and it uses the right stick to aim and all that stuff.
Interesting. So that was one of my questions to you. As someone who has not played Splatoon, me, will I figure it out quickly as, like, I would a shooter? Obviously, I'll figure it out quickly because I play video games.
Yeah,
but, I mean, does it feel like a shooter?
I don't know. Like, yes and no.
Does it feel like an N64 shooter?
No.
Okay.
No, definitely not. I'd say the controls for Splatoon are pretty tight.
Yeah.
Like, it plays like it should. It plays like a dream, I guess.
Ooh, a dream.
It's good. It's good. Like, I liked it, and I don't like shooters. Granted, I used melee weapons in the game.
The roller?
No, I used the paintbrush.
Okay.
Yeah, which is what I'm going to keep using. But, like, the new weapons that came out for it, they showed off three of the older ones, and then one of the new ones, and the Uzis that you can do the roll.
Double Uzis,
yeah,
as Justin would say.
Double Uzis. I miss Justin.
Shout out
already.
To Justin.
But it's the roll that you can do in it, I think, is going to be pretty amazing for that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, with every weapon that you get a loadout for that weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And in Splatoon 1, it was all the weapons, but there were different weapons that were the exact same, I think, that they just had like more attack power on the roller, and then it would have this loadout.
Mm-hmm.
Or a weaker roller, but it has this loadout. So, like, for this, they showed off the spider shot, which is just like the regular, like, your default weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it comes with the Tenta missiles, where it's just like these missiles that you shoot upwards, and then it just tracks all the characters. The Splat Charger, which is your sniper rifle in that game, and it has something called the Stingray, which I have no clue what that is.
Why do they not have a Super Mario Sunshine-esque backpack weapon?
There was a rumor about it doing a crossover with Sunshine.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that'd be fucking cool, but I guess not. I guess not.
Like, I think that would be... I think I wouldn't be surprised if that is sort of maybe even an Easter egg in... Mm-hmm. Well, not even an Easter egg, but something in Super Mario Odyssey. Like, maybe there's one level where you're, like, cleaning up all the paint with his backpack that he had. That'd be interesting.
I'd be down for that. But, like, I'm more excited about the fact that I can use a pro controller.
Yes.
Like, you can use a pro controller in the original Splatoon, but not for multiplayer matches.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think you can use it at all. Yeah, you can. You can use it in, like, what do you call it? Versus.
Like, exhibition games?
Yeah. Like, I don't know what it was. I never tried it, because I never had anybody to play with me at home. Aww. Like, it was always online. Yeah. I always played with, like, either my girlfriend or a few of my other friends from California. And I was like, oh, this is fun. But I'm like, what about, can there be a split screen for this or not? Mm-hmm. But like, I'm still wondering how it works with like, when you use to transport, like, cause you had a map of the whole area and it showed you like what is inked.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know how that's going to work for that game. Like, since it has to be docked.
I saw, only thing I really saw about that were people who kept hitting a button and bringing up the map accidentally.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's an issue with the controls. I think it may have been people used to playing the only other game on the Switch, which is Zelda.
Zelda, yeah.
So then they go to these controls and they're like, oh, this was just a Zelda console until now. So what stands out to you is like new or innovative specifically? Anything?
I think it's going to come down to all the weapons.
Yeah.
Like all the weapons that come out for it and all the different things that you can do with it. Like if they can find out, like since you can do the roll with the Uzis, mm-hmm. what other weapons are going to have like something unique to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like the roller can like shoot paint everywhere by shaking it off and stuff like that. And it also counts as an attack, but it can also roll and it makes you move a little faster, I think.
Do you think that this has any legs...
Yeah.
as a traveling game, as in people obviously love taking Zelda with them on the mm-hmm. go, and I feel like Nintendo felt like they were just like, ah, yeah, see, people love it, we are justified in our actions because people like to take Zelda with them, and they're like, we did it right. But without the ability, obviously you can hook up to like a hotspot at McDonald's or something, but you obviously can't play multiplayer on the subway or something, unless you have maybe a mobile hotspot or something like that. But even then, probably not.
Well, Splatoon 1 had a story mode, but it wasn't. That's not what you were playing.
Yeah,
I didn't finish it.
Yeah,
my girlfriend would give me shit for not finishing the story, but I'm like, well, but it's all the multiplayer. That's the fun part.
Is this why she left you?
Yeah.
Okay. How long has it been now?
I don't know. I don't remember. I lost count.
18 months.
18 months. But like, I don't think it'll be a portable game unless like you can do like a little local thing with all your friends.
How many commercials do you think there will be of someone using that flimsy kickstand and playing on like two different Switches and stuff with the Joy-Con and everything?
Have you seen any Switch commercials?
I've only seen one. I've seen like one since it came out. Yeah, obviously they kept playing that one of the rich people in New York playing on their roof, but with, oh, I'm rich and I have friends.
Yeah, I know,
that's
right?
Not how real life works. You can have one or the other.
I have yet to see like any commercials for Nintendo specifically for that game.
I think there's one with like Dave Franco or something. I feel like there's something with Dave Franco, James Franco's little brother.
Dave Franco.
I think it's the Splatoon commercial.
No, it's I might be thinking of something
else. Are you thinking of the one with the app for the app?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's something else.
Who is that? Is that Dave Franco?
That's Dave Franco.
Because like, he looks familiar.
Yeah, it's two people who probably got paid a ton of money to be in a game by now.
Yeah.
I wish, man. My thing is, I always wish someone would be like, do you want to be the new face of like Preparation H? And I'd be like, hell yeah. You want to give me...
That's the hemorrhoid cream, right?
Yeah. You want to give me... like
I get behind that.
Like, me and my girlfriend were just talking about like Big Bang Theory the other day, which I don't enjoy. But the people on there make a ton of money. I know mm-hmm. the guy who plays Sheldon, whose real name I can't think of right now, he makes at least $1 million an episode.
Shit.
And I would love to go to them and be like, look, I will take $5,000 an episode.
Yeah.
Because that's still way more than either of us make right now. And I was like, I'll be on every episode that you come out with for $5,000 an episode. And they'd be like, that's so little money, we might as well do it.
Yeah, like that's an that's, extra character, right? Yeah,
or like Flo with Progressive, she makes a ton of fucking money. Shout out to our sponsors, CBS, Big Bang Theory, Progressive, and Flo specifically. She was just her. she was just doing like improv and shit for Second City.
Pretty sure she owns Progressive now.
Yeah, she might as well. She's a millionaire because of that. Or the Sonic dudes. Shout out to Sonic. Sponsored by Sonic. Get your tiny hot dogs.
Isn't the one of the guys a comedian?
They both did did improv in Chicago. Okay. So I just want to be like, look, give me $200,000 a year. I'll tell everybody I put butt cream on, and then we'll call it square.
I want to be the new Clear Eyes guy.
Clear all right, and then you just you freaking out whenever they spray it in your eyeballs.
Yeah, it works like a charm.
And you're just crying. Where's my trailer? Anyway, anything else with Splatoon 2?
Not really. I'm looking forward to it.
I guess my last thing was, is this what you need to buy a Switch?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Still waiting?
No, I still
waiting. How many games in do you have to be before you buy a Switch?
I don't know. I have to see the game. Like, the game that's going to get me to buy
it. So you think it could be one, kind of like you're talking about with the Xbox, it could be one title, mm-hmm. and then you're like, now I can get Splatoon 2 and Zelda.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Speaking of a segue, Outlast 2 is officially getting rated by the Australian Classification Board. And I don't know if you looked into this at all. So the funny thing is we talked about it last week and how ostensibly it was banned, although they don't describe it as a ban.
Yeah,
but if you don't get rated, you can't sell it.
Okay.
So that's kind of the end of that.
So is it just that it wasn't rated, I guess?
Yeah, they refused to rate it because of its contents.
But now it's rated as 18 plus, right?
Yeah, so that's the other thing is that the Australian Classification Board doesn't even have that rating.
Really?
Yeah.
So is this like the first time?
This is, from what I saw, this is the first time. So we in America, we have adult 18 mm-hmm. plus, which is, it just says, I think it's AO, which is adult 18 and over. And you don't see that too often. I think we saw that a lot in like the late 90s, early 2000s.
I don't even remember.
I remember seeing a lot specifically for PC.
Yeah.
Because obviously there weren't like porn games coming and I think, you know, maybe like Leisure Suit Larry at a certain point was adults only. I think the version that showed boobs and stuff was maybe adults only.
Wait, was there a version that showed boobs at Leisure Suit Larry?
Yeah, there was one specifically for the original Xbox, I want to say. And there was a version with boobs and a version without, if I remember correctly. Could be totally wrong. So this looks like the first one that's rated 18 plus. In this, I also think BMXXX was eventually adults only.
Yeah.
And there was also a golfing game with naked people, if I remember correctly.
Right.
So this looks like it's going to be their first 18 plus game.
Did they get God of War out there?
I have no idea. Huh. I don't keep track that much.
I mean, that's just the question, because couldn't you have like an orgy in there?
Yeah, but it does what any game would do in its right mind, which is it pulls away from that.
Oh, okay.
You fuck real hard with a mini game, and then it comes back and you see boobs, and that's about it.
Man.
And did you see why they had a change of heart or a change of mind
with
this?
No, I didn't see that one, no.
Just because.
Just literally just because? Fuck it?
They said they reviewed it again, and they were like, well, whatever.
Well, they're just like in the fucking room like, look, guys, we're all criminals here.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Do you remember when our ancestors were shipped here in a big prison boat and we all just kept stealing and stabbing? Well, this game. Shout out to Australia. Please do not hurt us. We'd love the country. We'd love to come there.
Yeah.
If you guys want to have us in Australia, well, let us know. We just need a 4-star hotel. We will not share a bed. We will share a room. We're reasonable people.
Yeah. I'm not sleeping with that
and let's be honest, we'll share a bed as long as it's at least a twin.
Twin, really?
Yeah, we'll do like, you remember old school sleepovers? We go head to toe, baby.
Head to toe.
If you do that, no one can make fun of you.
I don't know. I think I'd rather a spoon with you guys than have your like feet in my face.
That is true.
Yeah.
Justin has those talons.
Yeah.
He never cuts those. He has
those
like
hot.
He has coke toenails.
Fingers.
So I'm curious to see the scenes myself because I do plan on buying this game. I'm curious to see exactly how far they go because when I was talking with someone else recently about it, the orgy scene, the sort of demonic sex scene type mm-hmm. thing, although it seems certainly out of place in today's world,
right.
With you know how the whole like the real world is a disaster and a travesty
and
everything,
yeah, yeah,
But it is, since, you know, since the 70s, for as long as I can remember, that's a huge part of movies that deal with the occult.
Yeah.
Is there's always like a, there's demonic someone wearing orgy, a goat mask, yeah. There's blood God, everywhere, and people freaky. Are fucking. I think the thing was, it just seems out of place these days.
Yeah.
But it is certainly in place in the context of that game, I think.
Right.
And I'm not going to say there's like necessarily a tasteful way to do this. No, you know, I'm not going to claim that it, and I could very well see it and be like, oh, I do not enjoy this.
Do you think this will offend Satanist people?
No.
Okay, we're good then.
I feel like people who identify as Satanists don't care how they're how people talk about
that's
them.
True.
You know what I mean? And I'm not saying, like, most Satanists I know, either through the internet or mm-hmm. maybe in real life, they're just chill. Sort of, well, yeah, they're pretty chill. They're yeah. like anyone who identifies with a specific religion, where they're just like, at least it's willing to talk to me.
Right.
They're like, oh, yeah, I'm Christian, but, you know, I'm also just a person.
Right, right.
As opposed to, I'm a Satanist, and I'm a Satanist.
I'm curious as to see how, like, if that's one of the shocking parts of the game, you think there's going to be way more? They think it'll go over that?
Absolutely, because yeah. it seems like that's just in the first part.
Because the ratings guys, they went through that part specifically. Do they go through the whole game?
They have to go through the whole game, yes.
So, like, just the fact that they're talking about that being the problem, do you think that's like the highest they went?
I think well, with them, it wasn't that was necessarily the most sort of controversial or anything. Mm-hmm. It was just that it involved implied or definite non-consensual sex.
Right, right.
And it could very much be an issue. Like I said, I've kind of justified it to myself as that being a traditional trope of the occult.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff that's attached to that in media. But I do think it will definitely get gorier, and it will definitely get scarier, but I think that may be sort of the most offensive to people's sensibilities.
Okay.
But at the same time, like I said, I do plan on getting it, and part of it is that I feel that the original Outlast sort of revived this type of survival horror game.
Yeah, yeah.
With, you know, I believe, I could be totally wrong, but I feel like Outlast came out before PT. I could be wrong. I'll look it up.
I don't know. Like, you might be right. It sounds right.
But regardless, I would say that if that is the case, I feel like I need to look it up just so I know for sure.
I'm excited to see it. Like, I want to see you play it.
My whole point being, if Outlast did come out before PT, then it inspired PT in some way, I think. Mm-hmm. And then also, of course, Resident Evil 7, which is one of the most popular survival horror games to date. Mm-hmm. So it shows here Outlast came out September 4th of 2013, and Silent Hill PT, let's see when that came out. I already forgot the date. September 4th, 2013.
I just remember
that. August 12th, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would say that they...
Well, like, that's the case, though. I mean, like, wasn't PT also kind of in development for a good while, too?
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But no one. Yeah, so was Outlast, and it's not like the Outlast Red Barrels who made Outlast. It's not like they saw that and said, "Let's do that."
No, no.
And they're certainly very different games. I feel like Silent Hill's PT was also a more sort of cerebral, I'm gonna fuck with your mind type of thing, more psycho thriller type stuff. Whereas Outlast was straight up, it's violent, it's scary, run for your life, that type of stuff. And I think that had definitely an influence on Resident Evil 7, sort of by proxy,
right.
Because the biggest difference is that in RE7, you can have weapons. Where in Outlast, it brought back the idea of, look, you're completely powerless. Your best bet is to run your ass off and know where to hide, pretty much.
Speaking of, like, psychological things, did you see that there was going to... I guess they kind of leaked The Evil Within, too?
Yeah, I saw a little
bit.
Was that Germany?
I think so, yeah.
I think it leaked in Germany. I was initially.
Yeah.
And then I saw a friend of mine play it back mm-hmm. in Chicago, and it was strange. It definitely had that sort of old school like Resident Evil feel, but
I think it's the same guy. The guy who it might be
the director of it. And so it had that feel, and it definitely had a decent story behind it, but the mechanics were broken, a lot of them.
I can see that, yeah.
I saw so many people running around without a head, like that kind of stuff, and it definitely takes you out of it. I feel like it went the right way, and it had a lot of sort of similar traps that I saw in a game that I did like, which was Until Dawn.
Yeah.
And then, so I think It could be good. Yeah. I would like it to be good. I'd like it to be something I want to grab. But after seeing the first one, I was like, ooh, yeah, I'm
I
not.
I showed interest in it. I was like, yeah, I can see myself playing this. But then after watching a few like minutes of it, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think people are still sort of longing for a new Resident Evil 4.
Mm.
Because I've gone back and played RE4, and it holds up as what it was. But it certainly needs an update, both visually and in terms of
its mechanics. I really wish I got into the Resident Evil series.
The biggest bummer for me, I didn't when I was a kid, because mm-hmm. I was honestly scared of first-person shooters until I was like 13. So I was thinking, like, it always scared me because it's like you can't see your surroundings because you're seeing out of your own eyes. So that scared me a lot. And Resident Evil definitely scared me. To put it in perspective, Metroid Prime scared me. Because
fucking Super Metroid scared the shit out of me.
Yeah. So God, I it's not something I jumped into, but I forgot what I was gonna say with Evil Within.
Not your cup of tea.
Oh no, I was gonna say with RE4. The biggest disappointment with RE4 is they talked about how they were going to have a control scheme, an optional control scheme mm-hmm. that was similar to Gears of War.
Oh, and they did that with RE6.
Yeah, so yeah. In RE4, they were like, so you can stop and pop, and you can also shoot as you're moving. And then when it came out, it was like, nope, you have to stand in one place, aim almost like a shooting gallery game.
That's what kind of made the game
I think scarier, so, I guess. But I think having that option, which was an option until they decided it wasn't,
yeah.
I think that would have been interesting. Because that itself, I think, offers replayability. With like the different control scheme. Because you say, I'm going to play this a completely different way.
Right.
So that I thought that would be interesting. And with that, we're moving on. Okay. No segue there.
No segue.
Tell me about this EA Play thing.
I have no fucking clue, man.
Okay.
Yeah. And then like I read it and I was like, I don't get this.
So at E3 2017, EA is going to have EA Play 2017. Mm-hmm. Where they're going to have, of course, all their sports games, Madden, and what do they have? I guess they have NBA Live. Is that still coming back?
I don't know, man. Like all these sports games I have trouble keeping up with.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think the only one I know is PES.
And FIFA.
Yes.
Yes. I haven't played FIFA since FIFA 14, but maybe I'll jump back into it. I got it for free.
It's kind of recent, though.
3 years.
3 years, yeah. Okay, you're right. That's not recent.
So, fuck you. They're going to have the newest additions to the Need for Speed franchise mm-hmm. and Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
So, as far as Need for Speed goes...
That's the only ones that I actually, like, took interest in was...
Yeah, I think those are obviously Madden and FIFA have huge audiences. I think Need for Speed and Star Wars Battlefront have a larger demographic of lesser... involved people, if that makes sense, because Madden only appeals to people who like Madden, but that's a huge group who are always getting every Madden.
Do they still release them like annually?
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
I feel like I haven't seen a commercial for one of those in a long time.
You know why? They don't have to.
That's true. That's true.
They've got it on lock.
Just walk into the store and you'll see the new one.
Every week, John Madden goes to his mailbox and he goes, oh, $400,000. Nice. And then he just walks back in his house.
I want that life.
Yeah. I was thinking, I sent you guys a picture of me proving that I was rich.
Oh,
which I had purchased 14 pairs of underwear.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the most underwear I've ever had. And I threw away all my old underwear.
Yeah.
Because it was just riddled with shit and blood.
Oh, God.
So it's fine. It's not for me. So I got rid of all those and I was just like, this is great. I also have a bunch of socks. I've never felt richer. But at the same time, whatever. But as far as Need for Speed goes, I don't know that I'm incredibly interested in that.
Right.
I haven't played a single Need for Speed game since the PlayStation 1, which was Need for Speed Hot Pursuit that me and my father played together.
I think the last one I played was Carbon. Was that a Need for Speed game?
That was 360, I think, and PS3. And they came out with that awful movie that they wanted to be the next Fast and Furious.
Oh, shit.
It had Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad.
I don't remember this movie.
No one really does.
Was this like 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago.
Fuck,
and like
dude.
I said, they saw the success of like Fast 5 and Fast 6, and they were like, oh, we got to come out with something. And then they just couldn't compete with them
at
all.
Was it Horizon that had like the DLC for Fast and Furious?
Maybe.
It was one of them that had like a DLC for Fast and Furious. It was like a little campaign or some shit.
I'm not sure. But obviously that movie didn't pan out. And I think it could be interesting, but I almost feel like the arcade racer is dead.
Yeah.
Because everyone cares about simulation.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone loves Forza, and they enjoy, like, why can't I think of it? Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
Granted, it's been a while since we've had one of those games. But people enjoyed those. But I think if they were going to revitalize the arcade racer, mm-hmm. the game to do it, especially with EA, at least I know that the last one was done by EA, it would be Burnout. It would be the Burnout series.
Oh, man. I never tried Burnout. Was that the one that you can, like, wreck?
Yes. Okay. The whole premise of it was, like, fucking wreck people. And I loved Burnout Paradise, which I didn't get until way later in the game. But again, it kind of moved to the simulation stuff, and people kind of dropped out of that.
I would like to see, like, an arcade racer come back. Because I know they're still big in arcades, but then arcades aren't that big anymore either. So, like...
Yeah, it's just... I don't know how they're going to balance that, because people have played... I mean, over the years, people try to make racing and driving mechanics in games way more realistic.
Yeah.
Like, even GTA 5 has gotten a lot better from even 4 and so forth. But can you imagine playing a game where you're like, okay, in my head, I understand the weight of this car, the speed that it's going at. You kind of do this mental math, and then it doesn't control that way because it's an arcade racer. That would like throw me off completely.
That's the whole thing. Like, I couldn't really get into Forza.
Yeah.
I liked looking at, like, the cars and stuff, and then driving was okay, but after a while, like, you start realizing that you're going fast, but you can't tell, because it's like a car. Like, once you start going a certain speed, you can't really tell.
As soon as you're going, like, 60 miles per hour and you look out the window, you're like, I'm driving so slow right now.
Yeah.
And then you look down, you're going 95.
That's what it feels like when
I play, there's a cop behind you, and you have a dead body in the car.
Oh, God. But, like, stuff with, like, Need for Speed, you can feel... Like, you can see the car going fast, and you're like, so everything's moving so fast.
There are light blurs around you and stuff.
So it's like, that seems cool, but, like, I don't think people, like you said, they're more into simulation stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, like, what if it got, like, competitive? Like, what does Mario Kart do? Because that's essentially an arcade racer too, right?
Yeah. With that, it's a little different, given that they're carts.
Yeah, they're carts.
And you don't have a real-life analog for that. Mm-hmm. Whereas... If you see a fucking GT or something, you're like, oh, I have a real life analog for that, which is a GT.
So that's what, like you said, like, the one that they can do it with is probably Burnout, because you can just go over the top with that game.
Exactly. And, like, Burnout had good driving.
Yeah.
It wasn't the most realistic. You could definitely take sharper turns, but it had an emphasis on drifting and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you smash the shit out of people.
Right, right.
So I think if they were going to do that, it would be with that.
Have you ever played Stuntman?
Yeah, man.
That game was fun.
That was interesting. That came out on the 360, at least. Yeah. Maybe the PS3. They had a couple of games like that were about throwing your guy out of the car and stuff. But then, other than that, of course, we mentioned Star Wars Battlefront, which I think everyone knows what they're going to do with that, which is they're going to Titanfall it, which...
So, Battlefront, the first one, right? That came out last year, right?
Yes. I do believe so. Could have been 2015, I won't lie.
Yeah, that's
but true. It came out fairly recently, and the main thing that everyone said is, where's the campaign?
Right.
You have these missions up front that are basically tutorials to get you ready for this, and they're going to do exactly what they did with Titanfall, which is they're going to give it, like, a stellar story for single player, and then, if anything, they're going to hopefully give you a better reason to stick with the multiplayer.
Right, right.
Give you a progression that makes sense and makes people want to hang on and keep playing, because they didn't have that in the last one.
Did this Battlefront have third person, or was it just strictly first?
I don't know. I have no clue.
Okay, because I remember the previous Battlefronts had, like, third person, and that's how I played it most of the time.
I think that'll be interesting to see how they handle a campaign on this one, because I was, like, I did play Battlefront 1 and 2 on the Xbox.
I think the way they should have done it, at least with the first one that came out, is, like, just give you the battles, like, the main battles of the Star Wars series. I think that would have been, like, really cool. Like, even if they didn't have, like, a actual campaign, but how about just, like, give us a recreation of those battles?
So, like, in the same vein as, like, a Destiny raid or something.
Yeah, kind of. But just, like, you doing...
A reenactment, essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'll be interesting to see where they pick this up in the Star Wars timeline, who's going to be involved. But I think it's gonna, either way, it's gonna be a great campaign.
Right.
They killed it with Titanfall 2. That is the first shooter campaign I've played in years. Granted, there haven't been a ton that was actually interesting as a story on its own. Where if I bought that just for single player, I would have been happy with it. And I think they're going to do that exact same thing with Battlefront.
Right.
And then, like I said, they had the issue that like the Division had, or I can't really think of anything right now, but player retention, which they player retention. Sorry if that wasn't clear. So
I got it.
They got people to come in. Mm-hmm. People were interested because they haven't had a Battlefront game in years, and people liked it. It was generally a critically kind of praised game.
It was just multiplayer.
Yeah. That was like the main facet of the title. So now that they can move on from that, and they should, and still have, they just need multiplayer that one that they can keep people involved.
I think basically. They should probably just bank onto these new movies coming out.
I think it will be tied in. They obviously had stuff from The Force Awakens that came in like later DLC for Battlefront. So I'm curious to see if there will be anything from Rogue One or sort of hints at what, you know, The Last Jedi.
God, that, like, if you can do that battle, or at least like the stealth mission that they did in the movie, like, can do that in the game, that'd be pretty
cool. Did you see they sort of released what the
ending was going to be?
Yeah. Well, the alternative ending. That was interesting.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes with my thing of when everyone would say, but they had, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Rogue One, but it's not really a spoiler. They were like, no, they had to die. And I kept being like, no, they didn't necessarily.
Well, like, when, usually when they say like, oh, like, well, this happened before, but nobody knew about it. And they also lived, but now they're not here. You know what I mean? It's like kind of like one of those Metal Gear things.
You think like they would retcon everything?
Yeah. Because that's kind of what it was, but like the fact that there's two new movies coming out, doesn't really count, I guess.
Yeah.
Like it helps it that there's two new movies coming out.
Yeah, and it was obviously a Star Wars story, so
if they would have lived at least.
Yeah. The thing is with that, people, again, a lot of people, and you weren't necessarily one of these people, but a lot of people did say no, they all had to die. Mm-hmm. Period. And I always want to be like, do you understand writers and writing?
I think it was a better decision that they had to die, though. I mean, I think it made it more...
Obviously, it was, because that's what they went with, and they're professionals, and we're not.
That's true.
I always think back to what I saw when people were like, Paul Blart 3 is coming out or whatever, and everyone shits on it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you realize that the people writing this movie are like Harvard graduates that know, like, their whole goal is to make money, and they're going to.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, even if they're writing something not so great, they're doing it for somebody that's going to go watch this movie.
Yeah, someone knows that they have someone interested in 4,000 fart jokes in one movie, and they're going to make a bunch of money off of my parents. You know, like, that's who they're going for, are like our parents or something. Right. And so when... You know, with Star Wars, they could have gone 8 different directions and they all would have made sense, and I would have been happy with any of them.
Like, I would have been fine with, like, if they lived, but just, like, the fact that they died makes it, like, I guess more heartbreaking to me.
Yeah.
And then makes me, like, feel like, oh, man, they died also, for this.
Yeah, you built a relationship with all these characters. That's definitely, I could say, the largest ratio of characters I liked to characters getting murdered. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, which was about 100%.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
This is a solid, like, cast too.
Oh yeah, real good cast. Jeez. And which is kind of a shame because you're like, well, I guess you're not around anymore to be in these movies, because it was a great cast. And then last but not least, I don't know why I say shit like that. EA also said that quote unquote isn't all they have to offer at EA Play 2017, and what I would want it to be is Burnout. But there's no way they're going to say, here's Burnout and Need for Speed.
Yeah, because they kind of compete with each other.
And you know what would win? Burnout.
Yeah.
Hands down. People have been wanting to go Burnout. Burnout
would
is...
It?
Absolutely.
Is Burnout like more recognized than Need for
I don't
Speed?
Necessarily know if it's more recognized. I think what it is, it's sort of the Skate 4 type thing.
Well, like I was... like, do you think it... Yeah, that makes sense then. Because like, Tony Hawk, like, yeah, everybody knows that those are bad now.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, people were so used to Tony Hawk, a new title coming out every year, like a Madden game or something, and then they started getting bad, and then worse, and then terrible.
And Skate kind of just popped in there and is like, guess what? We're good.
We're good. People like us, and you don't get a ton of us, you know? So I think with something like Burnout, people have played a Need for Speed game in the past few years. There was one that came out right before that
and
movie.
Like, you don't think it'll be like one of those things where, like, Burnout reviews really well, but it doesn't sell well?
I don't.
Whereas Need for Speed will sell well, and then it just reviews like shit.
I see what you're saying.
You know?
There's a good possibility that, because I think it kind of Need for Speed kind of has the Madden effect of just the name alone.
Yeah,
we'll get a bunch of people buying it for their teenage son or daughter, you know, because it's Need for Speed. I've heard of that for 20 years now, but that could possibly be the case. But I think what they're going to do is introduce a new IP totally, and perhaps it could even be Skate 4.
That'd be cool. I think, I'm sure Skate 4 is coming out, right?
I think it'd be weird not to. The thing is...
Because everybody wants it, essentially?
Everybody wants it. A bunch of people want to buy it. They're constantly commenting on Instagram and stuff. And then also, Tony Hawk, his contract is up with Neversoft or Activision or whoever. And if they got him on this game, it's not like that would be the thing that sold it, but people would be so stoked to have that transition.
Yeah.
Like, Tony Hawk is officially involved in a great skate game again, and we have this huge cast along with him. And so I think, and they could also kind of play on the Tony Hawk Pro Skater type missions and stuff. And there's always sections where you go and meet this skater and do this thing. So for Tony Hawk, they could do something really cool and kind of introduce him and stuff like that.
I think I'd get it. Like, I think I'd get the new skate.
It's a fun game, man. I that'll be one of the games that I'd buy right away.
Yeah.
Wouldn't care. Like, and I would know it would be good. I wouldn't have any doubt about it. Right. They would have to significantly screw this up, but. Which they could. I mean, they did it with Tony Hawk.
I don't know. Like, I feel like everything is already built on in Skate. Like, unless they, like, switch over to, like, a... Well, I mean, they're going to get, like, a new graphics engine. But, like if they change, like, the controls for it. Like, I don't think they even need to do that.
No, I don't think there's any way to improve on that besides making the sort of sticking points better. You know, like, making it more precise.
Better
But it was never bad. Better what?
Ragdoll.
Yeah, better. They might do something with that. And they're, like, Hall of Meat thing if they want to move away from that and make it more realistic.
Was that all in all the games?
It was in... So, in the first one, they always had it. In the first one, it was just anytime you bailed, it would show you how many broken bones you had.
Yeah.
And then, I think in... 3 specifically, it was like jump off of stuff and fly and, you know, roll around and shit like that and try to break stuff on purpose.
Man.
That's when they sort of added that. And speaking of broken on purpose, the Nintendo Switch has had at least one hardware fix so far. What do you have on that?
So I guess they're using like some sort of sponge or some shit.
They're using a foam cube.
To just like put it in there and be like, okay, it works now.
Yes. But you know who they're doing that for?
For everybody that has a broken one?
No one.
No one, really?
No one.
Well, didn't they say like that, like, if yours is experiencing this stuff, contact us and then we'll determine if yours needs a fix, or we'll let you know what to do or some shit like that?
Possibly, but I don't think even that. Okay. So they said on their own website...
I thought they were finally doing that dumb thing with the Wii where you can send them in and stuff.
No. They said that it was never a design issue... They made sure to say that it was not a design issue, so don't blame us.
It wasn't. It wasn't a design issue.
And they said, quote, there is no widespread proactive repair or replacement effort underway. They said it was a manufacturing variation, which means they designed something flawed. It was a design flaw. And they didn't prepare for something that happens with every product that's produced ever,
right?
Which is product... and manufacturing variation.
Yep.
The whole point of anybody knows, like, I'm a dumb idiot moron, and I know that if I'm sending something for mass production, especially something that's mostly plastic, let's say, I know that there's going to be variation in how tall a specific hunk of plastic is or whatever, and you should be planning for all aspects of that. Don't think they tested 50, 100 different switches before they sent that out, you know?
So, like, I'm wondering, like, why isn't it all of them, I guess?
Because of product. I mean, because of manufacturing variation.
Yeah, so, like...
So some of them have a taller piece of plastic or whatever that blocks that antenna from where it needs to be, and that's why they're like, well, if we put this piece of foam here, it corrects it.
Yeah.
And like I said, it is something that they should have planned for, which is just another showing that they push this out as quick as possible. And... I don't know. They said that going forward, it will be produced differently, but they also said it wasn't a design flaw. So
yeah,
I don't know.
The words are magical.
Yeah, exactly. But they also said, I think they don't want to tell buyers, hey, if you're having this issue, send it in.
Right.
Because everyone will send it in.
Yeah, and they'll want a new one because they think that theirs will either be broken or just in case.
Yeah, because if you can have, if they said, hey, we're making the correct ones now, why wouldn't you send that in?
Right.
Everyone would want the new one. Even if yours was working fine and they were like, hey, if you check out this serial number, then yours is fine, I would still send it in. Because you're like, why chance it? And that's exactly what they're trying to avoid. And they still haven't said anything about their, like, scratch screen issues or their flimsy, cheap docks.
Jeez, man.
So, my...
Poor planning. Just
absolutely.
Yeah.
So do you think that you will at any point buy the Switch before iteration 2 comes out?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But like if a game comes out,
then you'll just go for it.
I'll buy it. Yeah. Because there's other things that I've been told I can do to like prevent stuff like that from happening. At least not the control issue, but like the screen protectors, they said, like glass screen protectors. And then there's this lady on Etsy making little cubbies for, or not cubbies, but
then what
things.
You're looking into is a console that's already expensive for what it offers. Mm-hmm. Plus,
and then buying more
plus
shit.
Their Nintendo licensed products that you have to get with it. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, flash storage. Plus anything extra you buy from an Etsy shop or whatever.
Right, right. So, like, from what I've seen and from what I've heard people say, like, it's not bad just undocking it and then just playing it like that. And everybody's having fun like that.
Well, one of the bigger things I've seen a lot recently mm-hmm. is people saying they're getting about 100 minutes of battery life,
mm-hmm, yeah.
which is less than 2 hours, which is less than they promised, which no one was necessarily thrown off by that, but they said, what, 2.5 to 5 hours, mm-hmm. ostensibly? And maybe if you're playing like Pushmo or something, you'll get 5 hours. But people who are playing Zelda are getting, you know, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Which,
do you think they're going to have like a different... like a revision of the Switch, or they're just gonna like fix it and then ship it like the way, like the same way, like it's still the Switch, it's not like the Switch
I I think that's exactly what they'll do. I don't think they're gonna be like, this
suck.
Is yeah I don't know, I think they'll just make the changes they need to, like they're doing with the left Joy-Con, mm-hmm. and then send it out as the Nintendo Switch. The thing is, I doubt I will buy it until it is no longer an LCD screen.
Mm-hmm.
Because at no point am I going to be okay with dead pixels on my screen.
Right, right, right.
Especially for $300. The other thing is the battery life for me. If you're telling me this is, I know they keep reiterating, this is a home console, but if you're telling me this is something that I should and could take on the go with me,
mm-hmm.
then I shouldn't have to worry about only having an hour, hour and a half of battery life.
I've seen people like you said, like buying more stuff on top of the stuff, on top of the Switch. But I've seen people use like battery packs and it being fine. But like still 2 hours, 1 hour, it's still not a lot.
And for like, this extra stuff and this extra money, which is, it's a little insane. Like I said, I put, you know, when I bought my PS4, I bought the PS4. With like a fucking stand or whatever.
Yeah.
And an extra controller.
And you're set, essentially.
And that was it.
Yeah, and then the games and stuff. But
like,
other than
and then
that,
with
like...
this, it's like, it's a product that already comes to you as many pieces, mm-hmm. and then you buy many more pieces. It doesn't make any sense. So
I'm going to try to get one by the end of the year.
How do you feel about this, the hardware quality of the Switch compared to even the build quality of the original Xbox One and PS4?
I don't know about that. Like... I think the controllers are a lot better on the PS4, obviously, and then...
Yeah, I think the Xbox One has
so
the best controller.
They're different to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like a... I think I'd probably, like, compare it more to, like, a Vita, maybe.
Yeah,
but has a better screen.
Yeah, the Vita's build quality is solid.
I've dropped that shit so many times at work.
Yeah, I can't speak to their newer versions with now the LCD screen, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Because we have the one with the OLED, because we're early
fucking
adopters,
cool,
kind of. But the...
Vita means life.
The PS4 and the Xbox One, I feel, were both solid products when they were brought out. And the Xbox One, despite being 40 pounds, was a solid build.
Yeah.
And there were no issues.
It was 40 pounds. I'd hope so.
And I mean, we can go back to something like the Red Ring of Death on the 360. But Microsoft took care of that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily always in the best way.
Yeah,
they
didn't. And it also kind of took them a while, too.
That's what I'm talking about specifically.
It took them like, what, 3 months, 2 months before they actually started being like, hey,
yeah,
this is an actual problem.
An
so
ongoing
that's why,
issue.
That's why I'm hoping like in the next, I don't know, 2 months or so, Nintendo's like, fuck it, just send them in.
Yeah. I think eventually they'll break down. But I do think they also have a lot of Nintendo fans that are like, I'm willing to put up with it. That's good.
No, that's literally what it is. Like for me, it's literally just waiting for a game.
Yeah.
But, like, eventually I'll get it, eventually, and I'm probably going to like it. And maybe I'll get disappointed when I take it out of the box and there's a dead pixel, and I'm like, well, I guess I have to put up with this.
I go, looks like I take this back until I get a good screen.
Can you take it back?
Yeah.
I assume I buy it from, like, a Walmart or something.
Yeah, and then you take it back.
Like, hey, this was broken.
Yeah.
Because I don't think GameStop does returns, do they?
I don't shop at GameStop. I do not support them. They got rid of their... Did we ever talk about that? They got rid of their Circle of Life program?
Yeah, because it fucking blew up, and they're like, oh, shit.
Well, they're still keeping it for stores, but not for individuals.
Yeah.
Which means they're still telling the managers of the stores to pressure those individuals.
Yeah.
That's all that means. Okay, so I think that's it for the news, yes?
Yeah.
Beep, 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 bop, bop, boop, boop.
Oh, man.
So now we're moving on to a segment I like to call Two Questions.
Yum.
Yes. Question one kind of ties into what we were just talking about. So Nintendo hasn't mentioned much in terms of the 3DS's future. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they want to effectively drop that and focus all that they have on the success of the Switch?
Try that again.
So, like, given that they haven't spoken any new, given any new information about the 3DS or what's upcoming on that, do you think they're willing to drop the 3DS in order to focus on the success of the Switch?
God, man.
Like, we're going to use every team we have to make sure that the Switch is a success.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't talked about the 3DS in a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of concerned about that. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. Because I think at some point they said, like, yeah, we're going to, I think this might have been with the Wii or the Wii or something like that. They're mm-hmm. like, we're still going to make games for this. And then it like came out with like two other games.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they said it with the
Wii U.
The Wii U.
They said, like, yeah, we're still supporting it. We didn't stop producing it or anything. And then a week later, they were like, actually, we did.
We stopped producing it, but there's still a game coming out for
one
it.
One more game.
Yeah, it's Zelda.
And it was like months and months later.
Yeah, and that's why I'm just like, so I hope they don't, because I really like the DSs. I really like their handhelds and stuff. But like, well, what if this is their new handheld and also their home console? I'm like, well, you guys need a better battery life for that to be relevant.
That's my biggest thought is...
But do I think they'll switch to that?
I can say that I do. I think they will ostensibly drop the 3DS in order to say... Not necessarily this is your new on-the-go system, but to say, guess what? If you want these games, you're going to get the Switch.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm scared of, because they're different. They're both different consoles.
Yeah.
Like, the 3DS is going to have different games, but I guess you can do all those games that are on 3DS and make them technically kind of like indie games and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you can play Shovel Knight on a Switch.
Yeah.
And you could also play it on a 3DS, so why not just... Make it on the Switch only.
And it looks like they already have a Pokemon game in the works for the Switch, which is, I think, one of the bigger selling points for the 3DS is people want to play Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there are obviously other titles, Fire Emblem jumps to mind, stuff like that, that people want to play. But I think they're going to say, look, it still is majorly a home console. You still have your 3DS for the entire back catalog. We're still going to have the eShop, but we're going to kind of drop support for it.
Like, I just remembered there's a new Fire Emblem game coming out for the 3DS.
Echoes of something or other?
Echoes of something. It's like a remake of an older one.
Yeah.
But, like, well, what if that's the last one? And, like, that's what I'm concerned about. Because I really like, right now, I like the 3DS a lot more than I like the Switch. As weird as that sounds.
I think a lot of people in that same boat that aren't intense, like, Switch fans.
Yeah, and I mean, either, like, the battery life on a 3DS isn't that great either.
It's all right, though. It has a great standby battery, that's for sure. I could leave that thing off for 7 years.
Cool kickstand, too.
Yeah,
it just folds in half. But I don't know. I think I'm going to go with, they're probably going to ditch the 3DS and just stick to the Switch.
I think so. I think they...
As bad as that sounds.
They need this to be a success. And
that's the way to do it.
I think that, exactly. I think they know that if the Switch fails, people may not come back for the next home console.
Right.
Whereas if they end the 3DS's life... And then the Switch fails. They go, we can still go back to the 3DS. Here's your new 3DS. Guess what? It's a Vita looking thing.
Right.
You know, because I think the two screen thing is soon going to be dead. I don't think 3D is a huge asset. I don't know many people who use 3D.
Not. And especially they kind of proved that with the whole 2DS thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you don't really need it.
Yeah. So with that, and you know, most games I play, there's some inventory management on the 3DS or something, but there's not much reason to have that. And then you think a lot of that battery is used on that second screen. Just lighting it up is a lot of effort. So I think that they know we can always fall back on the 3DS. Our handheld marketplace, at least in North America, is still huge. We're already kind of losing it over in Japan.
Yeah.
And in Asia as a whole, people are switching to mobile on their phones. So
maybe just their tinier games just end up mobile ports.
Exactly. Yeah. I think, and you know, we've seen that they make a ton of money off of this stuff. Of that Fire Emblem game, off of Super Mario Run, now on Android, they're still making a significant amount of money off of that. Like, they know what they're doing. They know where their bread is buttered financially.
Yeah.
And I think I wouldn't be surprised if they say all hands on deck for the Switch. and let's worry about the other stuff if we need to.
Just need another fucking Game Boy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I've wanted to go. If you told me, hey, just take the top screen. Like, if anything, if they come out with a 3DS, give me the option to demagnetize the top screen or whatever, and then just have the bottom.
Yeah.
That's all I want. And that's just a Game Boy Advance, but with a better design.
Yeah, that'd be fucking killer.
So that's why I said, like, the Vita had a pretty great design, but overall, like, the biggest draw to me with the 3DS is that you can close it in on itself like a laptop. You don't worry about the screen or anything. But I do prefer having one screen.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of
I know the guy who made Nier, Yoko Taro, was talking about he wants to see a successor to the Vita.
Yeah.
Which, like, yeah, I would love to see that.
And if they don't come out with a successor to the current new 3DS, I guess, then that is a possibility.
Yeah, Sony can fucking be like, hey, this actually runs games.
And Sony has so much support via their indies on the PS4 that it'd be very easy to translate that over. Because going from the PS3 to the Vita, a little more difficult.
Wasn't there, like, a leaked image that, like, Sony was working on something that kind of looked like a Switch?
Maybe.
It was just like a schematic kind of thing.
I think if Sony were to do anything similar to the Switch, they'd be like, look, it's totally a portable console, but you have the ability to plug it into your TV and use your DualShock 4.
Yeah, like, that's one of the, like, the biggest things
Sony, that I liked about... Sony, if you take that idea from me, I'm going to be so mad.
That's one of, like, the biggest things that I really liked about the Vita was that, like, all of their indie games, or at least most of them, that are cross-buy. So you can buy them on PS3, and then you'll have, or buy on PS4, you'll have for PS3 and Vita.
Yeah.
And then all those saves carry over through the cloud.
Which is
fucking great.
They need to ostensibly try to do an Xbox Anywhere type thing.
Yeah.
Where they have it on PC, Xbox One, and 360 to a certain extent. So you can have that. And I think Sony does have that support. They just need to do it right this time around.
Yeah.
And like I said, they had moderate, not a ton of success with the Vita, of course.
All right.
Came out with the Vita TV, which some people liked. It was cheap and everything.
Yeah. I own one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, got it for $20.
And I feel like, if you said, here's the Vita, and guess what? It has an HDMI port, mini HDMI, whatever. Mm-hmm. Hook it up to your TV. Your TV will recognize it. And then you use your DualShock 4 to enjoy games on there. And it would be great.
Yeah.
I think they could have something with that. But I guess that remains to be seen.
Again, they're winning, so I don't think they have to do that yet.
But they will see their shot and take it if the 3DS comes to a close.
Fucking Nintendo will be like, fuck, well, now we got to do that now, too.
And then they'll come back and they'll destroy Sony.
Yeah.
Because they understand the handheld market.
Or they'll just be like, well, we can do that with the Switch, right? And then just keeps with the Switch.
We'll add a second screen.
Yeah.
So on to question two of two questions. You wake up in a field nude with a corn. with a cord installed into your spine. What do you do, bitch?
Like, is it attached to anything, or is it just like...
You wake up, you're naked, you look around, you feel a pain in your back, and you reach back, and there's a cord.
Okay.
And it appears to go in your skin.
As in,
what,
like,
do you do?
The cord, and then, like, is it, like...
I've told you all of the details.
Well, like, is there, like, is it connected to anything, or is it just, like, kind of dangling?
You're in the middle of a field.
Okay.
And you see the cable.
Okay.
But...
And it goes from my skin to...
It's going from your spine.
Okay.
Or on your back, through your skin, and you see a cord ran for what seems like miles in a barren field. No houses anywhere nearby or anything. What do you do?
I'd run until I unplug it.
Oh, my God. From... Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah.
I don't know how long it is, but fuck.
So, yeah, I guess, like... Well, I don't know why you would run. Why wouldn't you just pull the cord?
Because I'm fucking scared.
No, that's true. I did say, what would you do? What's the first thing you would do? I think I would just start pulling on the cord from the other end. Like, hold on to it. Bring it under my legs and just keep pulling on the cord. Problem with that, in this scenario, you do that for 3 hours, nothing changes.
You're just plugged into somebody else.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Shit. Maybe we're plugged into each other.
And then we're both living on each other's whatever we're doing.
Yeah. Whenever you exert force, it does it to me, and we have to find a way to communicate through this cord.
We're like a human cat dog.
A human.
Human.
Attached at the butts. That's the way I like it.
Oh, God. That means I have a tail.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's fun for you.
Yeah, I love tails.
You've been using those weird fox butt plug things.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You can't sit down with those things on.
Yes, I can.
You don't tell me.
I can do anything I set my mind to.
Oh, man.
Also, in this fantasy, all of your fingers are thumbs. all of your toes or thumbs.
It means I can grab so many things with
your,
that.
Your arms and legs are thumbs, your torso is a thumb, and your head's a thumb.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm like one of those monsters from Spy Kids. Spy Kids. The thumb men.
Yeah, that wore like leotards.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
I'm glad they weren't naked.
You're the only one.
Yeah.
I think at that camp. All right. So do you have anything to say before we let it go this week?
No.
Don't wake up in a field with a cord in your back.
Yeah.
Or a corn.
Or a corn. Yeah, or a corn.
What would you do if you woke up with a corn in your back?
Like a full corn?
Yeah. A full cob of corn.
I don't know. I'd be scared. I'd run until it comes out.
Yeah. Okay. So with that, this has been episode 6 of The Rat King. Please rate and review us on iTunes because it certainly helps us a lot. If we like your review, we'll give you a shout out on the podcast. And of course, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and wherever else you can. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Rat King Podcast. Send questions, comments, concerns, and suggestions to ratkingpodcast@gmail.com. And until next week, I'm Scott Petty.
I'm Jose Merguia.
Stay cool. I hate it.